Randy, thank you, choir. Good morning, church. How are you today? All right, man, y'all are kind of awake this morning. That's exciting. Means we can go longer, right? Because you're not sleeping already, so that's a good thing. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, let me just remind you that we are helping out a church in Raglan with their Vacation Bible School this week. Some of us were out yesterday to the church, Providence Baptist Church there, and got to meet some of the people. And you say, I don't have any training in VBS. Neither do the rest of us. Let's go and let's make much of Jesus and we'll have a good time together. And you say, I don't know what to do. You just show up and we'll find somewhere for you to be, whether it's helping with the snacks or talking to families or whatever it is. We want to make sure that we're able to help that church out. And so you can contact us at the church office, and we sent out an email last Monday about that as well. As you turn to Philippians chapter 4, let me remind you, we are walking verse by verse through the book of Philippians. We started last July, and we're going to end at the end of July. We're coming right down to it, and we're excited about that. We're excited about the next couple series after this. Some things that God's laid on our hearts to share, and we're excited about that. Would you stand with me if you're in Philippians chapter 4, and even if you're not, in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning, we're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I've received everything in full, and I have abundance. I'm fully supplied, having received everything from Epaphroditus, what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to learn and grow and change for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this past couple weeks, we've been talking about giving. We've been talking about joyful giving. And you say, how can giving be joyful? Well, it is a joy for us to give to see the gospel go forward around the world. To know that right here from Springville, Alabama, from Spring Valley Baptist Church, that we can see gospel work take place literally all over the world, in every country where there are people who need Jesus, which is every country, right? That we are a part of that. We get to be a part of that. That is a joy. And so today we're going to talk about sacrificial giving. And here's a definition of what is sacrificial giving. It's an act of worship whereby I am giving out of my need and not my surplus to further the gospel. That's sacrificial giving. Actually, let's say that all together on the count of three today. One, two, three. An act of worship whereby I am giving out of my need and not my surplus to further the gospel. That is sacrificial giving. To say, hey, it's not that I'm able to give because I'm so wealthy, but I'm able to give because I see the need for the gospel to go out right here in our county, right here in our city, and around the world. And that's sacrificial giving. So we want to talk this morning about just two things: what sacrificial giving is not and what it is. First of all, what it is not. Number one, it is not a way to make you feel better about yourself. I don't know about you, but sometimes those commercials come on TV and they have the sad-looking little puppies, right? And there's a little mournful song playing in the background, and it looks like the puppies are crying. They're not crying, okay? Just put that out there, right? And it looks like they're crying, and you sit there and you're like, oh man, I should really send my $372,000 to this company so they can take care of that one puppy dog right there, and it's really playing on our emotions, and we feel like maybe if I give a little something that I'm going to feel better about myself, and there's that need that's great there, that's there. Or maybe it's about orphans in Africa, and a lot times what happens with these companies, and I'm not saying that there's not those needs, but they play on our emotions, they play on our heartstrings, they try to take advantage of the mercy and the compassion that we might be feeling, and so we think, well, if I do this, if I'm giving, then I will feel better about myself. That is not sacrificial giving. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. I want to share that in another paraphrase called The Message. And it says this: I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. I love that phrase there, sob stories and arm twisting. One of the things that we should never do in sacrificial giving is we should never play on our emotions, and we should never force anyone to give. That's not sacrificial giving. If it's under compulsion, if it's something that's being forced by someone else, or we sit there and say, oh man, I have to give to this puppy because it looks so mournful and sad, that's not sacrificial giving. Now, what should motivate us is we should be motivated by the great need for the gospel all around the world. Do you know that there are still several thousand languages that do not have one verse of the Word of God translated into it? You know where we get faith? The Bible tells us faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. There is a great need. And we should be motivated by that great need, but we shouldn't sit there and say, oh, I've got to give and it's going to make me feel better. That's not sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving is also not a way for the church to get your money. I hear this all the time. Man, all the church wants from me is my money. That's all they're interested in. Can I tell you something? Nothing can be further from the truth than that. You know what God wants from us? Our everything. He wants your complete heart and your complete devotion. You know what we find out? When he has our complete heart and our complete devotion, you know what he also has? He has our complete bank account. He has our complete generosity. He has our complete giving. But it's not about the church getting your money. Paul said again in 2 Corinthians 9, therefore I considered it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance the generous gift you promised so that it will be ready as a gift and not as an extortion. I love that. It's a gift, not an extortion. You know what we do when we pass the offering plate? You know what you do when you go onto our website and log into e-giving and put your amount in there? You know what that is? That's an act of worship. That's an act of worship because we're saying, everything that I have, God gave me. Everything that I own is God's, and I want to freely give back as an act of worship, not as an act of compulsion or extortion, not something that I'm being forced to do, but something I'm freely giving. I don't give to the church. You know what we do? We give through the church. Just like we don't give to the cooperative program, we give through the cooperative program so that we can see the gospel go forward all over the place. You know, one of the things I love about the cooperative program, about our missionaries that go out here in North America and around the world, is that we have an opportunity to send them out and they don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to be able to take care of their family. That they can just go and do what God has called them to do. Growing up in church, I grew up in an independent Bible church, and we had a large missions program, but we saw a lot of those missionaries almost every year. You know why? Because they had to come back year after year, when they should have been out on the field sharing the gospel. They had to come back and remind the churches, hey, we're still here and we still have a great financial need. And there's nothing wrong with having missionaries in your church. In fact, in a couple of months, we're going to have some missionaries right here, real live missionaries, some that I'm really excited for you to get to meet when that time comes. We need to know missionaries. We need to have missionaries here. We need to have them in our homes. But they have a job to do. They've been called by God to go to some country, to some people group, in some area to share the gospel. And I love the fact that because of the way that we give, man, we get to be a part of sending them out there so they don't have to worry about that. The third thing that sacrificial giving is not is it's not a way to boost your bank account. Look what Paul says there in Philippians 4:17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. Now, a lot of people will take that verse and say, see, here, what Paul's saying is if you give enough, then you're going to get really rich. Now, that's not true at all. He's not talking here about our financial account. He is talking about our spiritual account, our relationship with God. See, the prosperity gospel says this: if you give enough to God, he will bring it back to you many times over. Can I just issue a word of caution? Not every preacher on TV is this way, but a lot of them are this way. That they go out there and they say, if you would just send in your money, God's going to give it back to you. I saw one time where this guy was preaching and he was saying, this is what you need to do. You need to send in your money. And then after you send in your money, I want you to come and just put your hands on the TV screen. And when that happens, the power of God is going to come into you and you're going to feel it. Now, what they were going to feel was a little static electricity right there, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Then you're going to feel it and all of your troubles are going to go away and you'll be healthy and wealthy and wise and everything's going to be great. That's not the gospel. The prosperity gospel also says this, if you give enough to God, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. The prosperity gospel says if you give enough to God, all of your sicknesses and problems will go away. The problem with the prosperity gospel is the Bible. The Bible does not say that. Not only that, but if we understand, if it's only something that we preach that's true in America, it's not true. Because around the world, right now, we have men and women and children who love Jesus passionately, who are giving, who are involved in evangelism in their area, and they are suffering for it. They are being thrown into prison. They are being killed. We are seeing more persecution today than any time in history. We don't face it too much here. But around the world, right now, there are people in prison simply because they named the name of Jesus. And so if we sit here and say, well, they just didn't have enough faith, or they didn't give enough, man, that's not in the Bible anywhere. That's a false gospel. What I see so many times that we get caught up in someone who says, I'm a Christian, and just because they have a radio show or a podcast or they're on TV or they're on the internet does not mean they're preaching the true gospel. And if you ever hear someone say, man, all you got to do is just send your money and everything's going to be good, you just mark it down, they're a heretic. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their pedigree is. I don't care what church they're at. If that's what they say, they are a false teacher. And you just need to run. You need to run from them. So that's not sacrificial giving. You know what Jesus said about our motives in giving? He said this in Matthew 6. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, since he will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This speaks to our motives. You see, if we're motivated because someone says, if you give, God's going to give it back to you, that's a wrong motive. When he says there, your eye, what he's talking about is what's our priority? If our priority is strictly financial, guess what, man? We have wrong motives all over the place. But if we're doing what Jesus said, that we're not storing up treasures on earth, but we're storing up treasures in heaven, you know what that is? That frees us up to give. That frees us up to be generous. That frees us up to say, you know what, I know that I got bills to pay and I got things going on, but man, there is a need. And I want to be a part of that worship moment. See, the truth of the matter is if earthly stuff is our God, we will hate the true God. Because there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle for our hearts, whether it's our stuff, whether it's our financial position, whether it's the type of car we drive or the type of job we have or our status in the community, all of that stuff is going to be our God. And if that's our God, then we are going to hate the one true God because we will look at everything that the one true God says to us and we say, yeah, but this. And we've given our heart to this. And God says, no, we got to have right motives. That's not what sacrificial giving is. But what is sacrificial giving? Number one, it's a way to meet needs. Look there in verse 18, Philippians 4. Paul says, for even in Thessalonica you sent gifts for my need several times. Paul had financial needs. He was called to be a missionary to the Gentiles. He was called to go and to share the gospel, and he had needs. He had to be able to pay for his travel. He had to be able to pay for his food and his lodging and all of those different things. He wasn't trying to be rich, but he had to pay for those somehow. Remember, what is sacrificial giving? It's an act of worship, whereby I'm giving out of my need and not my surplus to further the gospel. If we keep that in the forefront of our mind as we go through giving, we say, when I'm giving, it's an act of worship. It's out of my need, not out of my surplus. Remember we talked about 2 weeks ago, we talked about that little widow, and then everyone was dumping in their treasure in the temple, and here comes that widow, she's got those two little tiny coins, and the Bible even says they weren't worth very much. And she came and she dropped those in there. And what did Jesus say? She just gave more than everyone else combined because she gave all that she had to live on. Now listen, I'm not saying that what you need to do is you need to go and empty out your bank account and bring it into the offering next week. That's not wise. But if we're giving and it's not sacrificial, in other words, we're just giving out of the surplus, that's not an act of worship. You know what that is? That's checking off a box on our Christianity to-do sheet. God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about that because he wants our complete and undivided attention. So we have to understand that gospel ministry takes money to accomplish. We give to missions. We've been talking about that recently, and as we come up to our missions conference in October, we're going to have an opportunity to meet some people that we're already supporting and meet some people that maybe we can pray about taking on as an addition to what we're already doing. Maybe you, as an individual, say, maybe our church isn't going to do that, but I would really like to send some money to this ministry, to this missions project. I think that's a wonderful thing to do. We give to missions, but also giving to take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Church, this is so important. You know what James said in James 1? He said, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained from the world. Psalm 82, 3 and 4. Provide justice for the needy and the fatherless. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Save them from the power of the wicked. We have a responsibility, church, to be the church to look after those who can't look after themselves. You know what immediately comes to my mind when I read that passage there in Psalm 82? The first thing I think of is the unborn. I don't need to tell you how many millions of children have been murdered in the last 40 years. It's staggering. One thing that we have to be careful of, church, is that we don't become a political church. But can I tell you something? If we're not fighting for those who can't fight for themselves, we're missing the point. You know who else I think of when I see that? I think of people who are refugees. I think of people who have been displaced from their country because religious persecution, because of war, because of famine. And listen, we could go and we could get on our political soapboxes right now. We could talk about all those different things, but can I tell you something? They need Jesus. They need Jesus. We have that responsibility to either take the gospel to them or send the gospel to them through our giving. That is our responsibility, church. And you know what? We meet physical needs so that we can also have the opportunity to meet spiritual needs. You know what Jesus did when he was here on earth? He met a lot of physical needs. You're blind? Come to Jesus. You're deaf? Come to Jesus. Hey, your kid died? Bring him to Jesus. There was a demon? Bring him to Jesus. You were hungry? Come to Jesus. And you know, he kept meeting physical needs. You know why he met physical needs? So that when he was hanging on the cross, people looked at him and said, that's the man that loved me, and I believe that he is really the Son of God. We meet physical needs so that we have an opportunity to open our mouths and share about their spiritual need. You know, James tells us that we shouldn't do, we shouldn't just walk up to someone and see their need. They're not clothed or they're hungry and say, hey, be warmed and filled. Have a great day. See you later. You know what that does? Nothing. When we walk up to that person that's naked, that's hungry, and we give them clothes and we give them food, you know what it does? It opens up a wide door for us to share the gospel. When we are giving towards the gospel, it allows us here in our area and missionaries around the world to meet those physical and spiritual needs. And church, that is so great and that is so important. The greatest need that you and I have in life is Jesus. That Jesus is the satisfaction of our needs is not a Christian cliche. It's the truth. We have this great need, every one of us. No matter where we are in our spiritual journey, we all have this great need that can only be satisfied by Jesus. And if we who are the church have this great need, think about how great the need is for those who don't have Christ, who don't have relationship with Him. That right now, they are lost and dying and headed towards hell. What did Jesus say in John 3? He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but the world is already condemned. They're already headed to hell because they don't believe. We have the opportunity to step in the way. Sacrificial giving allows us to meet needs in gospel ministry. So sacrificial giving is a way to meet needs. Number two, sacrificial giving is a way to please God. Note, it does not say it is the way to please God. It is not if you write your check and you write it big enough, God's like, oh, look at that person down there doing really well. That's not how it works. It is a way to please God. You know what the rest of the way is? It's how we live our lives. It's not how we just live our Sunday morning. It's how we live our Monday through Saturday night. It's how we live our everything. It's how we please God. But one of the ways to do it is that we do it through giving sacrificially. Paul says there in verse 18, but I've received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I'm fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Paul was grateful for the gift. He said it met and exceeded all of his needs. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever received a gift from anyone that you were just like overwhelmed by and like, oh man, this is more than I could ever hope for? That's such a wonderful feeling, isn't it? But Paul wasn't in this for what he could get. He was in this for what the church could give because of the blessing that they would receive. And so he says here a couple things about this gift, this sacrificial gift. He first says it is a fragrant offering, a fragrant offering. David Wotzel said this, the smoke of Noah's sacrifice is called sweet. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, he said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of human beings. Genesis 8:21. The Levitical burnt offering is said to be a pleasing aroma, a fire offering to the Lord. Exodus 29:18. We further note, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Ephesians 5:2. The saint's prayer brings an odor like incense before the throne of God. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Revelation 5:8. The free will offering given is similarly pleasant to God. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And so when Paul is saying this is a fragrant offering, he is bringing to mind in Israel's minds everything from early on in Genesis all the way through, whereas offerings were being made that God continually said, this is acceptable to me. It smells good. It is a good aroma. I kind of think of it like this. You ever walk somewhere and you smell a nice steak on the grill? You know what I'm talking about? That's a good smell, isn't it? Or maybe it's some a pork butt there that's being made, or maybe it's chili in the house. This is that, and you're just like, oh man, that smells good. That is what God says about a number of things in our lives. He says it about our prayers, and he says it about our offerings, our gifts, that it is a good aroma. It's pleasant. It's pleasing to him. But he also says that it's an acceptable sacrifice. We talked a couple weeks ago about Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice. And how Abel brought the appropriate blood sacrifice, and Cain's like, I'm going to give you a couple cucumbers here. Now listen, I love cucumbers, but that's not the right sacrifice. See, it's an acceptable sacrifice. It's done in the right way. Paul said this in Romans 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. When he says there, present your bodies, you know what he's really saying? He's saying, give your everything. You know what we do most of the time in church world in America today? We give our Sunday morning. I might even give 2 hours on Sunday morning. I might even give a Wednesday night. In the super spiritual churches, they have a Sunday night that they might give too. It's not about that. You know what God wants? He wants our everything. Complete and total devotion. Not just during this time period, during our entire lives. Think of it this way. If you're married and you said to your spouse, hey, you know what? I am going to love you and show my love for you for 2 hours every week. How well do you think that would go for you? I tell you how well it would go for me. Wouldn't go very well at all. Wouldn't go well in your house either. So why do we think that's okay with God? Why do we think, man, if I just kind of give God a little bit of lip service over here and I'm going to show up, and man, when we sing, I'm going to really sing. I'm going to really, I might even raise my hand during singing. I'm going to, but then the rest of the time, we just live like everyone else. That's not what he's asking for. That's not presenting our bodies. That's not giving our everything. That's not an acceptable sacrifice. That's playing church. That's being religious, and that's not what God wants at all. And so he says, present your bodies. Give your everything, and that includes our financial status. And then he also says it's pleasing to God. Something that's pleasing to God is that which God accepts as right, that which brings glory to God. Amos chapter 5. I remember a number of years ago I stumbled upon this passage and it blew me away because I never thought I'd hear God say something like this. This is what he said. I despise your feasts. I can't stand the stench of your solemn assemblies. Even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I have no regard for your fellowship offerings of fattened cattle. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Man, I read that and I was like, what is this? The people, you know what they were doing? They were doing exactly what God told them to do. Ritualistically. Religiously. They didn't have any love for God. They didn't have any care about him. They didn't have any devotion for him at all. They just were going through the motions. You know what I had to do? I had to look in the mirror. Because how many times in my life do I just go through the motions? How many times do I just do it because that's what's expected of me? And he says there, even if you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will have no regard for your fellowship offerings of fattened cattle. Can I tell you something? You could write the biggest check that Spring Valley has ever seen, and God say, I hate it. You could be the biggest giver that we have on our rolls, and God would say, nah, not interested. Because he's not interested in your money. He's interested in your life. And listen, when he has our life, he has everything else. When he has our life going onto our website and going to e-giving or writing out that check or putting that cash in the offering, that's easy. Because we've already given him everything else. When we willingly, lovingly, and sacrificially give out of our need and not our surplus, we are bringing a pleasing offering to our great God. This is what Pastor Josh said to me this week. We give because he gave. It was out of his surplus that he sent his very best. We should give because of what he has given to us. I can't think of a greater statement right there than why we give. Because listen, what did Jesus give for us? Everything. He gave up heaven. He gave up his glory. He became sin. And we're like, here's $10. It's not what he wants. He wants our life. He wants our everything. Well, what are our takeaways real quickly this morning? We'll be finished. Number one, am I giving sacrificially so that the gospel can go forward both here and around the world? Ministry costs money. Money is one of those things that, like, there's a love-hate relationship with it, right? We love to have it. We hate to see it go, or you know, where there's never enough of it or anything like that. But listen, when we are involved in sacrificial giving and we have an attitude in our minds of saying, hey, listen, when I give this $1, I know that immediately 7 cents of that $1 are leaving the building. Immediately. When I'm giving that $1, I know that those 7 cents are going here, they're going around the world, and that's awesome. And I know that there's other money set aside for other ministries and other missionaries right here that are going out around the world. Over 12% right now of our budget is going somewhere other than right here. I told you a couple weeks ago that's a great place to start, but we're not gonna stay there for long. We're gonna see how much can we give away. We want to be generous as a church. We want to see how many ministries can we partner with. How many people can we get? Now that we're just frivolous in our money, we don't want to be frivolous in any way. We want to find gospel-focused missionaries and gospel-focused ministries that we can partner with and say, this is something that we believe in because we want to see them reach people that we're never going to reach. But we can help. We can be a part of that. Are you giving sacrificially? Is that your mindset? Number two, is my giving a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God? Why are you giving? When that offering plate comes by, why do you throw something? Do you throw a couple bucks in for the show? If that's the case, God says, just keep it, man. This is not about tipping God. Am I giving because it's an act of worship that I'm saying, hey, listen, when I write this check, when I put this cash in here, when I go online, whatever it is that I do, when that happens, is this an act of worship for me? I'm going to say this again because I can't overstate the importance of this. The only people that I know how much they give is my family. I don't know how much you give. Can I be honest? I don't care. That's between you and God. That's your personal act of worship, and I don't care. We have to be good stewards, and we need to make sure that we're appropriating that money and everything like that, but I don't care how much you give. That's between you and God. But listen, can I tell you something? If you're not giving, or if you're under giving, or you're just kind of throwing a couple bucks in for the show, can I tell you something? You're living in disobedience. God wants our everything. That includes our bank account. I think a lot of times the reason that God doesn't have our bank account is because he doesn't have our heart. You know what we like to do? We like to hold on to this a little bit right over here. God, this is mine here. You can't have this. I think when we do that, God just laughs at us. He's like, you're an idiot, Brad. I don't know why you keep doing that. You see, when I'm giving my everything as a pleasing sacrifice to God, you know what I'm doing? Instead of holding on to it, I'm just opening up my hands and saying, God, here it is. I give you my everything. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and study your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be men and women and teenagers and boys and girls who look and act and talk and think just like Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we are giving you our everything. We are giving you our hearts, our lives, our bank accounts, our families, our future, our job, whatever it is, we're giving it all to you. God, may we be men and women who stand before you with open hands, not holding back on anything, not clutching anything, but just holding our hands open, saying, God, here it is. Take it and use it. And Lord, specifically this morning, as we're talking about sacrificial giving, I pray that you would help us to understand the importance of giving through the church to see the gospel go out around the world. May we be truly sacrificial givers who give not out of our surplus, but we give out of our need because of that great need that there is for the gospel. Lord, I'm not convinced this morning that every one of us in here, that we've given you our heart. Lord, maybe we're sitting here this morning and we've been saved for a long time, but we're really just showing up to church. God, would you break our hearts this morning? Would you help us to respond and say, I need to give my everything to you? Lord, there may be some of us sitting here this morning that we come to church just because it's something that we do, but we've never, ever given one ounce of our lives to you, that we are still lost. We don't have a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that this morning that we would understand the beauty of the gospel, that you love us so much that you came to earth and you died a sacrificial death for us, and you were buried and you rose again, and if we would simply believe, you would forgive us, you would save us, you would give us eternity in heaven. And so, Father, I pray that this morning that you would help us to do business in our hearts. Help us to do business with you. May we respond to your call this morning. Right now, friends, without anyone looking around, without anyone moving at this point, let me just ask you a couple questions. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? If you can't definitively answer yes to that, I'm going to ask you in a moment when we stand up to sing, would you just come and meet Pastor Josh or myself down here? Say, I need to know Jesus. Maybe you're sitting saying, I know Jesus, but man, I haven't given my everything. Would you let go? Let go of whatever you're holding on to, whether it's your sin or your pride or your family or finances, or man, just let go. Life with Jesus is so much greater, so much more fulfilling and rewarding than life apart from him. Maybe you're sitting here and saying, man, I just haven't really started giving. Can I just challenge you with something? If you're not giving anything, give something. If you're giving something, would you tithe? That's 10%. If you're tithing, would you give more? If you're already giving more, would you be generous? Every single one of us, man, we need to challenge ourselves to do more than we currently already are. This is our spiritual act of worship. Just a moment when we stand to sing, if God's working on your heart, you say, how do I know if God's working on my heart? Well, maybe right now your hands are kind of a little sweaty and your heart's kind of beating real fast. I think God's speaking to you. If that's the case, would you just respond? Maybe you need to kneel and pray at your chair. Maybe you need to come and kneel here at the stairs. Maybe you need to come talk to Pastor Josh or myself. Would you do that as we respond together? Jesus, I pray now that you would help us to be obedient and to do what you want us to do in this time of invitation and response. In Jesus' name, amen.